Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 71 for the September 2013 previews. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews that you might find interesting. As always, these episodes have an open submission policy, and everyone is encouraged to send in clips about stuff that you like and you think other people might like. If you're going to do that, I do ask that you go to the forum and post what you're going to send in clips for. That way, I know what to expect, and if I've gotten all the clips, how much time I need to estimate for, you know, putting this episode together. And so other people don't duplicate those clips and we can get the widest selection of items possible. Because there are thousands of items in previews every month and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. There have been one or two this time around that I didn't notice until I saw a clip come in for it. And it's like, wow, that sounds interesting. I should check that out. Now, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews, working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going item by item or page by page or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights. And again, those highlights are picked by you guys, the listeners. So next month, if you see something that looks interesting in the online solicits or in previews, send in a clip. The deadline is usually the second Saturday after previews comes out. Anyone can send in clips. That includes not only listeners, but other podcasters, creators of comics, either their own or others. Publishers, again, if you're a press person at a company and want to push something, let us know about it. This is one of the great ways to really promote a comic and stuff. My goal here is to help everybody find comics they're going to enjoy and do it in time to actually order the stuff either through some place like DCBS or their local comic book shop in time that store can actually get it and fill that need. So with that, let's head on to the clips. My first clip of the month is from Dark Horse. It's on page 48 and it's Never Ending number 1 of 3. This is one where the concept just sounds interesting to me. It's about a superpowered, you know, hero and stuff. He's in a body that just never ages. He's been trapped in that state for decades, and it's driving him insane. So, in an attempt to, I guess, commit suicide, he's teaming up or trying to team up with his arch enemy to see if that guy can help kill him. Now, it might be a bit of a downer. It might be a bit of a comedy. I'm not quite sure here. The concept of, you know, how do you kill an unkillable man? The concept of being immortal, driving the hero insane. There are aspects of that that seem different, that seem interesting to me, so I'm going to give it a shot. Once again, that's Never Ending number 1 on page 48, and we've got a 50% discount through DCBS on that.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam, and this pick is from page 51 in the Dark Horse section, and that is Clown Fatale number 1 of 4. The description reads, sexy female clowns are mistaken for contract killers and abandon their shabby traveling circus for a world of violence and cruelty with clown makeup. There's a sample page of artwork that looks simply gorgeous, even though I am not familiar with this artist, Mauricio Rosenzweig, but it's a great looking page. And of course, the big tagline on the bottom of the page, lowbrow grindhouse action adventure. This sounds like something that's right up my alley and I wanted to give a shot to. So that is, again, Clown Fatale number 1 from page 51 in the Dark Horse section.
Hey guys, this is Drew with my first pick in Dark Horse. I'm a little under the weather, but the previews calls have to be made, so I'm persevering. It's Abe Sapien on page 56 of the previews catalog. This is number one for $1. It's Mike Mignola, Scott Alley, Sebastian Fiamura, and Dave Stewart. This is 32 pages. Seems to be a Hellboy spinoff with a cover by Mark Mignola, and I'm a sucker for the dollar price point, so I am definitely going to check this out. I've not really read any of this, so this will be new to me, but the price was definitely right, so I'm excited about it. Thanks.
This is Derek from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my first pick of the month is in the Dark Horse section. This is on page 74, and it is EC Archives, The Vault of Horror, Volume 3, hardcover. Now, if you remember last month on the preview show, I mentioned the fact that Dark Horse is thankfully picking up the ball and starting where Gemstone and CG Press left off in reproducing in color and in chronological order all the issues from EC Comics. And now, 1 month later, we have another volume. So it's good to see that Dark Horse is not resting and is really intent on putting this series out. Now, this is the third volume of The Vault of Horror. The first two appeared in the previous publishers. This one has a foreword by Mike Richardson, and it features stories drawn by all-star comic artists such as Johnny Craig, Graham Ingetz, Joel Orlando, Jack Davis, Jack Kamen, and George Evans. So you have to check this out. I have all of the EC archives, and I'm going to continue to get all of them, and I hope we get to an endpoint, and that Dark Horse doesn't suspend publication as the earlier publishers did. So you can check this out on page 74 of the previews catalog.
Hey guys, this is Drew again with a pick from DC in the previews catalog, page 109. It's Earth 2, number 17. This is the debut of Tom Taylor from Injustice. I've really been enjoying Injustice, so I'm going to see what kind of new life he can infuse into Earth 2 and pick this book up again and see if he's made any changes. Looks like Earth 2 Batman is front and center in this one, and the art is still going to be by Nicola Scott and Trevor Scott, so should still be good. So it's 32 pages, $2.99, and I think you should all check it out, especially if you've been reading Injustice. Looks good.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam, and I wanted to talk about Harley Quinn number 0 on page 115 of the DC Comics section of previews, written by Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti, who I am looking forward to this issue quite a bit. Not sure what it is, a ton of artists listed and all superstars. Darwin Cook, Sam Keith, Paul Pope, Walt Simonson, Alt Baltazar, Tony Daniels, and a few others are listed. I, again, don't exactly know what to expect from this, but with Palmiotti and Connor writing it and that list of artists, I am more than willing to take a shot on a character I love anyways. I'm actually excited to see Harley Quinn get her own series, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with this issue. Yes, hello, this is Sam again, and this time I am on page 127 in the DC Comics section of previews, and I wanted to talk about Injustice Gods Among Us Annual Number 1, written by Tom Taylor. As has been discussed on several episodes of the Comic Book Page podcast and on the forum, Injustice Gods Among Us has absolutely been a stunning series. In many ways, you could argue one of the best Justice League books written over the last 25 years. So it's really been spectacular. I'm actually really looking forward to Tom Taylor when he comes over to DC as well. But this is one of his chances of getting in a few extra issues with an annual. Description reads, Logo invades the world of injustice. In the main man among us, when Superman's world was cruelly taken from him, his retribution was swift. But one of the perpetrators is still out there, and her freedom gnaws at him. But the Man of Steel can't spend time tracking down one person, not when the entire world needs him. So he enlists the help of Lobo, one of the greatest bounty hunters in the universe, to track down a now superpowered Harley Quinn. Again, Lobo and Harley Quinn, this should be two characters I really like. I think this issue should be a lot of fun, and the Injustice series in general has just been so spectacular. I'm absolutely going to give this a shot.
Next up on page 135 is Creature Commandos trade paperback. When I was first really getting deep into comics and stuff, it was the early 80s, late 70s and stuff, I picked up an issue of Weird World... Wow, it's a tongue twister. Weird War Tales, featuring the Creature Commandos. I think it was issue 118 or whatever that also featured the GI robot. And it's like, well, that's kind of interesting, having a sci-fi thing in with the Creature Commandos, which is essentially, you know, a Frankenstein monster, a werewolf, a vampire, a gorgon, kind of the classic horror movie icons and stuff, as a unit in World War II. It was just a bizarre concept. It really worked. It was fun. It was interesting. Unfortunately, as I was starting to get into those sorts of things and explore those areas, they were kind of, frankly, dying out at the time. I think there were only another 3 or 4 issues of Weird War Tales that featured the Creature Commandos. So I only have the one issue and stuff, but it was fun, it was interesting, and I'm looking forward to picking up this trade paperback that collects their various stories in Weird War Tales from that, wow, it's still a tongue twister, from that era. So it's something I recommend checking out. We've got a discount through DCBS that is, I believe, 50%. Let me double check that just to be sure. Yes, 50%. Taking that $19.99 price tag down to $9.99, so just great deal there. This is the kind of stuff that, you know, check out at your local comic shop when it comes out and stuff if you want to. It's fun stuff. It's something that I think would appeal to a lot of people who are picking up some of the Image titles that are kind of, you know, doing mashups of genre. Again, here it's kind of horror monsters and war stories, with, in a few cases, some sci-fi stuff thrown in with the GI robot. So I found the issue a lot of fun that I read back in the day off the rack. Looking forward to picking up this collection and stuff. Again, that's Creature Commandos trade paperback on page 135 of the previews catalog, and it's by DC Comics.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam again with a pick from page 163 in the IDW section of the previews catalog, and that is Wraith, Welcome to Christmas Land number 1. This is Joe Hill's new kind of series. To read the description here, Joe Hill's New York Times bestselling novel, Nosferatu, introduced readers to the terrifying funhouse world of Christmas Land and the madman who rules there, Charlie Talent Manx III. Now, in an original new comic miniseries, Hill throws wide the candy cane gates to tell a standalone story that is at once both accessible to new readers and sure to delight fans of the book. I don't know about you guys, but personally, I'm a huge fan of Joe Hill. He is, in many ways, both very similar to his father, and in other ways, a completely unique voice, from Heart-Shaped Box to Horns to this novel, the work he did with Lock and Key. For those of you who aren't familiar with the novels, in comics you might be familiar with those works. If you're into kind of gothic horror with a modern twist to it, Joe Hill does as good a job as any writer out there these days with that. And I have read the book Nosferatu, and it is great, and I'm looking forward to this companion piece to go with it in comics form. Yes, hi, this is Sam again with my next selection, which can be found on page 167 in the IDW section of the previews catalog, and that is Mr. Peabody and Sherman number 1 of 4. What can I say? I am a longtime fan of Jay Ward Studios animation, Rocky and Bullwinkle, the Fractured Fairy Tales, kind of all those classic characters, and of course Mr. Peabody and Sherman, the classic genius dog and his boy. I am really, really looking forward to this. The writers and artists can kind of capture what it was, that unique wit and witticism of Jay Ward Studios, and the bad puns and the such a unique thing. I don't know how great or easy this would be to sell to like a new young child who's not familiar with these characters, but if you have any affinity for or love for the classic Jay Ward animated creations, I am thrilled to death that they are doing Mr. Peabody and his boy Sherman as a comic book.
Hey guys, this is Drew with my pick from IDW on page 180 of Previews Catalog, The X-Files Season 10 Number 6. This is a beginning of a two-parter, Hosts Part 1 of 2. I've really been enjoying this. This is written by Joe Harris with art by Elena Casagrande. But what I really like about this is it really speaks with the same voice as the television series that I enjoyed. It just kind of picks up right where the show left off. And for fans of the show, this is really as close as you're going to get to another episode. So I would encourage you to pick it up because it's really, really good. It's 32 pages for $3.99. Please check it out.
This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next pick of the month is on page 188 in the Image section. It is Black Science number 1. Now, this is written by Rick Remender, and the art is by Matteo Scalera and Dean White. And this is how the solicit reads. Grant McKay, former member of the Anarchist Order of Scientists, has finally done the impossible. He has deciphered black science and punched through the barriers of reality. But what lies beyond the veil is not epiphany, but chaos. Now, Grant and his team are lost, living ghosts shipwrecked on an infinite ocean of alien worlds, barreling through the long-forgotten, ancient, and unimaginable dark realms. The only way forward, the only way is forward. The only question is how far are they willing to go and how much can they endure to get home again? One of the things I'm intrigued by is black science. I mean, what is black science? So you're going to have to read the series to find out, and I definitely will. Another notable thing about this is that this is written by Rick Remender. This is just another instance of many where Image Comics has gotten a number of high-profile writers and artists from DC and Marvel. So it's good to see that they are continuing to do this. You have a generous portion of samples on pages 189, 190, and even 191. So you can check this out. Another notable thing about this is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's a rarity that Image does anything with science fiction. So this is notable for that reason as well. Check this out. You can find it on page 188 in the Image section.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, and I'm a fan of this podcast. And a comic book I'm looking forward to getting and will be pre-ordering is called Umbral Number 1, and it's on page 192 of your previews catalog. It's from Image Comics. The story is by Anthony Johnston. The art and cover are by Christopher Mitten. And the solicited is as follows. The Day Dawned Twice, a new dark fantasy from the creators of Wasteland. The young thief called Rascal witnesses the horrific murder of the royal family. Now the world's dark legends will be relived, and only Rascal even knows it's happening. Master world builder Anthony Johnston of Dead Space and also Daredevil, and his Wasteland co-creator Christopher Mitten, who has done Batman and Criminal Macabre, bring you a new fantasy world rich in mythology, history, and blood. Extra long first issue for the regular price of $2.99. I'm looking forward to this comic because of the creative team. They're the same creative team on Wasteland. They work really well together. Got a really cool long series over there from Oni Press. And I look forward to them starting a new series here with Image. And you've got three nice pages of art here, which makes me want to order the book all the more. And it just sounds like a really neat concept. Got horror, fantasy, and a lot of sort of weird things going on here. I can tell already from the preview pages. And once again, the comic is called Umbral Number 1 from Image. It's going to be coming out on November 13th. It's got 40 pages of full color artwork for mature audience for $2.99, or it's 50% off if you get it from DCBS. And I look forward to it. Thanks a lot, John.
Next up on page 196 from Image Comics is Alex plus Ada number 1. This features the return by Jonathan Luna to comics since really the first time in years since The Sword, which I thought was just a great 24-issue series that he did. And this is a sci-fi drama set in the near future dealing with, you know, the potential dangers of artificial intelligence and, you know, both being reliant on it and it kind of flipping out and trying to take over. Don't know a whole lot about it, but I really like the work that Jonathan Luna's done before. The art here looks the standard look and feel that I would expect from Jonathan Luna, which I really like. It really works for me. So I'm looking forward to this and seeing kind of how long it goes, where it goes, and how it goes. Again, The Sword, to me, was just a really, really solid series that had both really good plot development, some amazing action sequences, and just a good balance between the two. I don't know if we're going to get tons of action in this or not, or if it's going to be more drama, as it is implying. But either way, like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. It is a $2.99 comic. We have a 50% discount through DCBS. I think it's worth checking out, so hopefully you will too.
This is Drew with my pick from Image on page 228 in the previous catalog. It's Think Tank number 11 by Matt Hawkins, with art and cover by Rasan Ekdal. We reviewed number 9 at a recent weekly comic spotlight, and I enjoyed it very much. And I'm going to chase back some of the earlier issues and continue on this series because of how well I did like this book. So, Image, you got me again with another quality title, and pretty soon I'm just going to be all Image all the time if I'm not careful. It's 32 pages for $3.99, and it's a really cool story of a guy who is kind of a technological wizard, you know, creating these military devices, and it's really a good read. He's kind of out of his depth and in the military area, but he's still the smartest guy in the room. So it's a really quality read. So I would encourage you all to pick it up. Hey guys, this is Drew with a Marvel's preview pick on page 23 of the Marvel's preview catalog. It is Superior Spider-Man Annual number 1. This is Peter Parker's Spider-Man. So for those of you who have been holding out because you didn't like Doc Ock as Spidey, it looks like you might get a little taste of Peter Parker Spidey in this one. I'm not sure. You'll just have to check it out. It is 40 pages of all-new material for $4.99. You do get the bonus digital edition for that extra buck or so. So if you're loving Superior like I am, this is a bonus issue for the month that I'm excited about. This is Christos Gage and Javier Rodriguez writing and doing the art with a cover by J.G. Jones. So this looks like a definite pickup, and you might get a bonus Peter Parker story out of it. So good stuff.
Next up on page 50 of the Marvel previews is Amazing X-Men number 1. I know what you're thinking, the last thing we need is another new number 1 for any of the X titles, but I'm really looking forward to this one because it promises the return of Nightcrawler since his death back in, I guess, X-Men Messiah Complex a while back. Love the character. The other thing that has me kind of intrigued and a bit excited about this is not only is Iceman going to be a member of the Amazing X-Men, but so is Firestorm. All we need is the Superior Spider-Man, and we'll have the Superior Spider-Man and his Amazing X-Men friends. Yes, that's a reference to the old 80s cartoon, for those of you who didn't quite catch it. We also have Wolverine, Storm, Northstar, and the Beast in here. So it looks to be a good mix of characters. Again, do we need another X title? Maybe, maybe not, but Jason Aaron's going to be writing this. Ed McGuinness is going to be doing the art. What they're showing looks really good, looks like a lot of fun. We've had, frankly, some really, really good stuff coming out of Marvel these days by a variety of creators, including some of the stuff Jason Aaron's doing is really good. So I think it's worth checking out. Again, I'm a big X-Men fan, have been for, frankly, decades, which makes it a lot easier for me because I don't have to wonder, you know, who are these characters. And frankly, with this mix of characters, I doubt anybody who's even tangentially familiar with the X-Men is going to be wondering who they are. The most obscure of them would be either Northstar or Firestar, and even those aren't too obscure. So, like I said, should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to how they bring Nightcrawler back. I'm glad they are. It's a $3.99 comic. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS. If you're going to pick it up from your local retailer, make sure to let them know so they can order enough copies of it. There's also going to be variant covers of it, so if you want a particular variant, let your local retailer know. They've got a blank cover, a Nightcrawler variant, a Sketch variant, a Deadpool variant, and that's just to name a couple of them. Marvel does tend to be a little variant happy at times. Once again, that's Amazing X-Men number 1 on page 50 of the Marvel Previews.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month, it's from Action Lab, and you'll find it on page 242. It is Pirate Eye, Iron Bars, Wretched Tales, One Shot. The most hard-boiled pirate detective around finds himself in a jail cell with three criminals and an agenda. But what is it he wants? Only the ensuing battle of wits will reveal his cellmate's secrets and his own. One thing is certain, not everyone gets a happy ending. This is by Josiah Gran and Carl Yonder, and I've been reading their Pirate Eye series, and they all have been coming out as one-shots, so I guess it's not really a series, for a while, and they're all good. And one of the things I love about this is that the books are a mashup of genres. So you have, obviously, the pirate genre, but you also have the noir or detective genre. So it's a curious mix. It's one that I wouldn't normally think that would go well together, but I guess it's like peanut butter and chocolate. You wouldn't think it goes, but it does. So think of this as the Rhesus of Action Lab. And you can check this out, Pirate Eye, Iron Bars, Wretched Tales, One Shot, on page 242 of the Previews catalog.
Next up on page 246 is actually where the solicit is, but 244 and 245 is where the two-page ad is, and trust me, you want to check out the two-page ad. We've got Shifter. It is a trade, actually it's a hardcover, it's volume 1 of Shifter. It is listed, it's a little confusing, it's listed at $29.95 in previews, but the DCBS order form, I believe, has it for, double check, $19.99, which is a noticeable difference. At either price, it is both a bargain and well worth the cost of admission. You know how Marvel, $19.99 in the DCBS order form for the hardcover. You know how Marvel has all those AR codes, you gotta have that, and it does some kind of marginally interesting DVD extra sort of a thing? Imagine having an entire hardcover where pretty much every page, it seems like, is set up that way. This is a 224-page original graphic novel. It is done by the same crew who did the Anomaly hardcover, which was like 370 fully painted landscape pages there. This is co-created by Brian Haberlin, who is involved in Witchblade, Spawn, a number of other titles. Co-written by Brian Hoagland, who has written some Spawn and Area. Basically, the concept is, you know, you can become anything, you know, shapeshifters and stuff, but the augmented reality aspect of this really just kicks it up another notch. Not only is it going to be a wonderfully painted and well done just graphic novel in and of its own right, the technology kind of kicks it up to another level. When I saw a demo of this for the first time at Comic-Con, I forget if it was last year or the year before for Anomaly, it blew me away. It was really impressive and really kind of pioneered what can be done with augmented reality and comics and stuff like that. We've got a 45% discount through DCBS, taking that price down to $10.99 from that $19.99. Again, this is something that I hope comic shops get a spare copy to put up on the rack and can demo with people's smartphones and tablets and stuff, just how the augmented reality works out. They did that at Comic-Con, like I said, and it was just amazing. So this is well worth doing. Again, it's listed as Volume 1, which implies we may be getting another couple of volumes in the future, which I certainly hope so. Again, this is by the same team that did that just amazing graphic novel, Anomaly, a while back. So, well worth checking out. Once again, the two-page ad is on page 244, 245. The actual solicit from Anomaly Productions is there on 246, and that's Shifter Volume 1 hardcover.
This is Drew with another pick, this time from Avatar Press on page 274 of the Previews catalog. This is Alan Moore's Writing for Comics graphic novel. It's $5.95. There's not a lot of information in the previous catalog because this was originally published back in 2003 by Avatar, and reprints an 85 essay on how to write comics successfully by Alan Moore. And who else to tell you how to write comics but Alan Moore, one of the best comic writers ever. This looks like a great investment if anybody's a process junkie like I am and loves the art and science of comic creation and wants to know a little more from the master himself, Alan Moore. So I highly suggest Alan Moore's Writing for Comics on page 274 of the previous catalog.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam again with another pick that can be found on page 276 in the Big Dog Ink section of the previews catalog, and that is Scheherazade number one. This book, actually, I kind of discovered following J. Scott Campbell on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. He's tweeted this cover and some of the pencils and stuff as he created that cover, and that kind of got me interested enough to look into it. And let's see, the description for Scheherazade number one. A new heroine rises from the legends of the ancient world. Scheherazade was known for her amazing stories of 1001 Arabian Nights, but now it is time to tell her story. She lives a life unlike anything you could imagine, an existence that spans generations as well as genres. In this new ongoing series, Scheherazade stares into the storms on the horizon with determination, but the forces of nature and of history are not to be taken lightly. It just sounds like a really interesting premise. I kind of like, you know, stories that deal with, you know, stories like fables and some of the Grimm's fairy tales from Zenescope and stories that kind of deal with legends and fairy tales and fantasy characters from kind of legends of yore. And so I'm definitely going to give this a shot and see how it turns out. I'm looking forward to it.
Next up on page 283 from Boom Studios is Protocol number 1 of 4. Now this one just sounds interesting. And as a quick aside, it says something about a title or property when it starts being used to describe other new things as part of the high concept pitch. And Protocol is listed here as Morning Glories with Spies. And of course, I love Morning Glories. It's got good intrigue and stuff like this. This sounds like fun just based on this. It's going to be a spy fiction along the lines of Alias or Mission Impossible, it says. The basic idea is the government has been taking orphans, putting them into training camps, and training them to be the next generation of spies. Now, who knows how long they've been doing this, and if this quote-unquote family or the family of spies is multi-generational or not. But it sounds like I'm not going to say the world's most original concept. There have been a lot of things like this done before. But it's a cool concept and usually can be pretty well done. Michael Alan Nelson has done Supergirl, Hexed, among other things. I like his writing. The art samples they've got here at the bottom of 283 look good. Again, 4 issues, not that big of an investment. $3.99, which is standard for Boom, not too bad of a price. We've got a 50% discount on this, so I'm certainly going to give it a shot. I'll probably pre-order the entire series. It looks like fun. I'm looking forward to it. So again, that's Protocol number 1 of 4 from Boom Studios on page 283. Next up on page 301 from Dynamite Entertainment is Noir number 1 of 5. Now this issue features Miss Fury and the Black Sparrow and guest stars The Shadow. This is Dynamite continuing to use a lot of the pulp characters, obviously, you know, Fury, Sparrow, and Shadow being among them, and just telling some more great stories with them. I've really been enjoying what they've been doing with the Miss Fury miniseries. What they did with Masks was really good. I'm enjoying what they're doing with the Green Hornet and Shadow miniseries. This is just more along those lines. So if that's the kind of stuff you're into, this is something you should definitely check out. We got a 50% discount through DCBS. Once again, that's Noir number 1 on page 301 from Dynamite Entertainment.
Yeah, Yeah, hi, this is Sam again with a pick on page 304 of the previous catalog in the Dynamite Entertainment section. That is Battlestar Galactica Starbuck number 1 of 4. Finally, the origin of Lieutenant Starbuck is told by number 1 New York Times bestselling author Tony Lee. See how Starbuck became a Viper pilot, his first meeting with Apollo, and why Adama treats him like a son. As he pieces together what really happened the night he was orphaned and the name of the traitor who ordered it. The original Battlestar Galactica series is probably my all-time favorite work of science fiction, and Starbuck was my favorite character. Dirk Benedict was so great in that role, and that whole show was so good, and I love that character, so I'm going to give this book a shot. If you're a fan of the classic Battlestar Galactica, you might want to check it out.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next pick of the month is on page 320 in the Drawn and Quarterly section. It is Beautiful Dreamer, written by Fabian Vellman and art by Kara Skoe. This is a dark fairy tale about surviving the human experience. Now, in the story, Aurora is having a tea party with Hector and the prince she's been dreaming about when a sudden deluge forces them to take shelter elsewhere. They emerge from the skull of a dead girl, sounds interesting, into the woods at night and find themselves among a crowd of tiny people. Aurora quickly takes charge of the situation, and at first things seem to be going well for most of her friends. Now, despite a few injuries and deaths and a lot of hunger, they forage successfully and befriend a mouse that lives in the neighborhood. But as time goes by, more and more of the little people begin to lose hope, turning against one another in brutal ways. Beautiful Darkness is a harrowing book of the human psyche and the darkness that hides behind the routine politeness and meaningless kindness of civilized society. I'm not familiar with any of Vellman's work, and he's a French writer, and most of his stuff is in that language. Although last year, Arkea published his Last Days of an Immortal, which I'm not familiar with, but now, after reading this solicit on page 320, I really feel that I need to check out. So maybe you should check out Beautiful Dreamer in the Drawn and Quarterly section. Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next pick of the month is in the Fantagraphics section on page 324. It's by one of my favorites, Gilbert Hernandez. This one is Maria M. Now, this is the first installment of a new standalone two-part storyline that will be strangely familiar to longtime Love and Rockets fans. Maria M. is actually the B-movie film adaptation of the life story of Luba's mother, Maria, as previously seen in the classic graphic novel Poison River, and that's really a good one. Maria M. works perfectly as the kind of violent, sexy pulp tale that Gilbert Hernandez has grown so adept at these past several years. Now, if you look on the following page, 325, you'll see that they are re-soliciting three of Hernandez's books, The Troublemakers, Love from the Shadows, and Chance in Hell. And the reason that I mention these is not only are they great books, but they're doing what Gilbert Hernandez has been doing. In his earlier Love and Rocket stories, he takes one of his characters, Fritzy, who starts out as a psychiatrist, and then becomes a B-movie star. And then in his graphic novels over the past several years, such as Troublemakers, Love from the Shadows, and Chance in Hell, he creates stories that are basically based on this character, Fritzy. And you will find the character, Fritzy, with supporting roles usually in these stories. And so it's an interesting kind of adaptation where he takes his character, who's a B-movie actress in Love and Rockets, and he makes her an actual B-movie actress in these narratives of his that do read like B-movies. And apparently Maria M. is going to be the next installment of this, and this is going to be a two-part installment. So we have the second one to look forward to. Another thing to note about Gilbert Hernandez, and especially Maria, Luba, Fritzy, and their family, is that the women are rather... Well, I'll let you see for yourself. If you go to page 324, you will see some sample illustrations. And if that's your bag, then you definitely should check out Maria M. by Gilbert Hernandez. But you should definitely check it out because it's a wonderful comic, great story, and Gilbert Hernandez is an incredible storyteller. This is Derek once again from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my last pick of the month is on page 333 of the catalog. It's in the NBM section, Jewish in America, a two-volume graphic novel set. This is written by Neil Clyde and art by both Jake Allen and Nicholas Cinquegrani. Now, this is made up of two previously published graphic novels, Brownsville and The Big Con. Brownsville actually represents, factually, the rise and fall of Murder, Inc., a group of assassins for hire, Jews in the mob during the 1920s. The Big Con is about a rabbi who turns out to have never been Jewish, and in many ways it explores what it means to be Jewish, or in a larger sense, what it means to have faith in America. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why I think this collection is titled Jewish in America, because both of these books, both The Big Con, and that's K-A-H-N, and Brownsville, try to represent the Jewish American experience, especially during the 1920s. Neil Clyde does an incredible job. Now, you can go out and buy the individual graphic novels. I did when they first came out, and I was just blown away by both of them. Or you can get this combined two-volume set, and it's at a pretty good price at $24.99. So you may want to check out Jewish in America, a two-volume graphic novel set, and you'll find this on page 333 of the catalog. Thanks, and have a nice month.
This is Drew with a pick from previews page 333. This is from New Paradigm Studios, The Rock Thrower number 2, written by Carl Bowlers and Justin Gabri, with art by Dave Ross, Gene DeSicco, and cover art by Ryan Wardlow and Various. I kind of missed the boat on the first issue of this. I heard about it a little too late. But the idea is a washed-up scout, baseball scout, sees footage of a Palestinian youth, teenager, throwing rocks at Israeli soldiers with such speed and accuracy that he decides to head over there to see if he can sign him up as a baseball player and redeem his career, redeem himself that way. And I just thought that was a very interesting premise. I like the idea a lot, so I really want to check this one out and see if I can't pick up number one somewhere as well. But I would suggest if that sounds like a compelling premise to you, that you check it out as well. It's $3.99 for 32 pages, and it's found on page 333 of previews catalog by New Paradigm Studios.
And my last pick of the month is on page 364. It is Exo Man of War number 19 from Valiant. This is a standalone arc at the heart of Unity is how it's billed, which means it's obviously going to have a lot to do with Unity, which is apparently a lot of the other heroes ganging up on Exo and you know, trying to set him right. And of course, this is Exo's title, so he's going to have his own view on things. Whether it's a point counterpoint kind of a thing like they did with Bloodshot and Harbinger, I don't know. But Exo is a really fun title. It's really good stuff. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS on this, and it is a $3.99 comic book. But really, what you ought to do if you go through DCBS is not take advantage of that 50% offer. And you're thinking, well, that sounds crazy. Why wouldn't I? You should take advantage of the offer a few rows above it in the order form row. I think it's 1851. And that's the Valiant bundle. DCBS has been doing this for a couple of months. And it's basically, you get 50% off Unity, Exo, Quantum and Woody, Archer and Armstrong, Eternal Warrior, Bloodshot and Hardcore, Shadow Man and Harbinger, the whole kit and caboodle. Valiant has just been doing a phenomenal job across the board, great quality on everything. Certain titles are going to appeal more to certain people than others, that's a given. But in terms of just quality of material and getting stuff out on time, Valiant has just been doing an amazing job, and I really recommend pretty much everything from them. Again, this is a great jumping on point for Exo Man of War, so at the very least, you may want to take advantage of that 50% offer through DCBS if you're picking up Unity. And if you're not doing stuff through DCBS, when you pick up Unity at your local shop, be sure to check out Exo and see if you want to pick up that side of the story too. Quantum and Woody's also having a new jumping on point, but again, it's just Valiant's doing some great stuff. Exo had a little bit of a slow burn at the beginning, but it's really picked up a lot of steam. It is a very unique book. Obviously, it has some similarities at times with Iron Man and a few other things. Kind of a Conan meets Iron Man, if you will. But again, I can't recommend what Valiant's doing highly enough. It's really great stuff. So once again, that's Exo Man of War number 19 on page 364 of the previews catalog. I want to thank Sam, Drew, Derek, and Ian for sending in submissions this month. That's always appreciated. I can't do these episodes by myself, nor would I even really try to. It doesn't make sense to. I'm all in on the Marvel Universe, the DC Universe, Valiant, and a number of other things. These episodes are worth doing for me because I get to hear from you guys what you're interested in. I would have completely missed that Mr. Peabody and Sherman issue if Sam hadn't mentioned that on the episode here. So, once again, these are open submission episodes. I really want as much feedback as possible from you guys, as many clips as possible, because that's how I find out about new things. That's how listeners find out about new things. My total this time around is actually fairly high for me. It's $633.53. I usually try to stay closer to the 500 range, but what happened this time around is there was that John Byrne Artist Edition, or actually, I'm sorry, John Romita Artist Edition, second volume of Amazing Spider-Man stuff, and it's like, you know, I just gotta get that. Without that, my total would be about $510.03, putting it pretty much right around normal. So, you know, occasionally I'll stretch like that just for, it's something I want and gonna be hard to get later, so might as well get it now. Hopefully everybody found stuff they're interested in. Again, I want to stress open submission policy both on this, and everyone is welcome who wants to participate in the monthly conference calls. Those are the Saturday night, the second Saturday after previews is out, and we just talk about comics using previews as kind of a rough agenda. We have tons of digressions, and we're by no means limited to what's in previews. And speaking of previews, as we've been doing this entire episode, I do want to give a big shout out to the team that's behind putting together previews. This thing is just a ton of work, and this is their 300th issue of that. So I want to congratulate Marty Grosser and his whole team for the fabulous work they've been doing month in, month out. I've been doing episodes, preview spotlight episodes specifically. This is the 71st, so for nearly a quarter of that 300 issue run. And, of course, I've probably got, I don't want to say the whole 300 issues, but the overwhelming majority of them sitting over in my library room over in the other side of the house there. I find this to be just a fabulous reference for what's coming out. And just in the pages of one catalog, being able to sample everything from every publisher and just see really the depth and diversity of the comics marketplace out there in the direct market. So congratulations, guys, on 300 issues. Keep up the great work. I really appreciate it, as do, I think, all the listeners. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.